what if you were found out? What if you were found out? What if every part of your life was recorded? Everywhere you went, everything you watched on TV, every website you visited, whatever you said to people, whatever you did was recorded. Whatever you didn't do, when you had the opportunity to help somebody and you didn't, that was recorded. What if there was something out there that recorded every thought that you had? There are people that are hired for important company positions or political appointments, and we say that they are vetted, right? Which means that there are serious background checks done on them to make sure that they don't have any skeletons in their closet that would embarrass the company or embarrass the political party. Can you imagine if we vetted the people here at Beaver Dam? Seriously vetted the people here at Beaver Dam. And then it got posted every week out in the foyer. Hebrews 4:13 says this: nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. And that kind of makes us uncomfortable, doesn't it, a little bit? I mean, let's be honest here. We are not as good as we think we are, or as everybody else thinks that we are. I can remember growing up that my dad would sometimes say about the car, well, it seems to be missing. And what he meant by that is that it wasn't exactly firing on all cylinders. It would run with this hesitation a little bit. You know, you'd hit the gas and there'll be a lunge, you know, you'd go for, you know, it's just something's not right. It runs okay, but there are problems. It's not working like it should. And you know, we've got a similar problem as human beings. All of us, we know that there is something wrong with us. We set out to do what is right and we end up not doing it. Or we tell ourselves, I am absolutely not going to do that thing. And sure enough, we end up doing that thing. And then along the way, we make excuses and blame other people and tear other people down. We're not that good. But it is part of the human condition. This is what the Bible calls as sin. And the Bible is full of examples of people just like us. We know there's something wrong. Even people that don't seriously follow Jesus know that there is something wrong. There's a pastor friend of mine who was having a conversation with him. He was talking about his brother, who is not a Jesus follower, but he keeps watching this one TV preacher who is just, he's the sappy, I'm not going to mention his name, but he's a sappy TV preacher, and he preaches a watered-down version of Christianity. He doesn't talk about sin. He doesn't talk about hell. And my friend, who's a pastor, asked him, he said, why do you keep watching him? You know, it's not a true version of what the Bible actually says. And his brother said, listen, I don't need to be told that I'm bad. He goes, I know I'm a sinner. We all know that. That's the bad news. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Excuse me. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. We're in bad shape. We're going to be found out and there is going to be a judgment day. Now, I can take one of two approaches to this. One approach is I can kind of just get in your face and yell at you and tell you guys you're in bad shape. You need to clean up your act, seriously. And if you don't, you're going to wind up going to hell. I mean, that's why I became a Christian. Back in the eighth grade in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, Emmanuel Baptist Church, I sat in the pew and the preacher preached about hell, and he preached a lot about the book of Revelation, and I was scared. And I didn't want to go to that fiery place, so I took out fire insurance. And I asked Jesus into my heart, right? And I became a Christian, and that's kind of where it all started. And the fact of the matter is, nowadays, people think differently. Just the overall thinking of people is different. I read an article just this week that it mentioned this line. It says, few people today are running from hell or yearning for heaven. I mean, just heaven or hell is just not a topic that is on a lot of people's minds. Yeah, it's important to talk about sin and evil and hell, but you know what? That only takes us so far. Because what God really wants for us is to be transformed to become like Jesus Christ. And the fact of the matter is, when Jesus was on the earth, he didn't talk nearly as much about heaven and hell as he did about how to live your life in the here and now. That's what Jesus talked about. And so I think as your pastor, a better way to approach when we talk about transformation, instead of just talking about, you know, you need to get your act together or you're going to go to hell, I want to tell you about how awesome our God is. I mean, this God, and we see this all throughout the Bible, God is good. God is majestic and awesome. God has this unending love toward his creation. Each one of us, God loves us so much. I always used to tell our students that if there was this love meter, right, how much God loves you, it would always be maxed out over here. It never, we do something bad, it doesn't go, no, it's always maxed out. God loves us, unending love for us. Here's your homework, part of your homework, initial homework. Go home and read the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 and just look at that picture of the father. Jesus is saying, this is what God is like. This is what God is like. And my hope is that when we talk about the goodness of God, that inspires you to say, well, yeah, maybe I'll follow this guy, Jesus. Maybe I'll change my life because of how awesome God is and his love towards me. And so during the season of Lent, we have been talking about transformation over these past couple weeks. So if you would turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, number 938 in your Red Pew Bibles, 938. We're in this series called Preparing the Soil of Our Soul. And what we are looking at, we want God to change us, to transform us into Jesus instead of just giving us a ticket to heaven. This is what we've been looking at, talking about transformation. So we're going to pick it up in verse 16 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And before we do, let's pray, all right? Father God, we thank you. Gosh, we thank you for your unending love for us. May that love change our hearts here today, that we would just want to run to you and look to Jesus and indeed change our life. Lord, I do pray that you would mess with all of us here today, because it's a good messing. You want to make us the best that we can be, the best human being that you have created us to be. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting verse 16. Paul is writing, And he says this, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So we have heard the bad news that we're not very good, right? That because of our wrong choices, now that there is this gulf, there is this disparity between us and God. But the good news, we read in verse 18, that God reconciled us to himself through Christ. And so the good news is this: God initiates reconciliation with us. God didn't give up on us, on his creation. Even though we sin, even though we choose wrongly, even though we go against what he wants and decide to do our own thing, God, that has created this gulf, God builds this bridge across the divide to have a relationship with us. And that bridge is Jesus and the work that he did on the cross. An innocent, sinless Jesus Christ went to the cross, suffered and bled and died, took on all the sins of the world, took on our sins, and defeated evil, and he bridged that gulf. And so our debt of sin, this is an amen moment, okay? Our debt of sin has been paid in full. Amen. Our sins, as the scripture you just read, is no longer counted against us. Amen. Amen. And so we are free to have a relationship with God. And when we accept God's reconciliation, we become a new creation. All right? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. When Jesus was around, he was often challenging people. He would say, hey, follow me, and what that meant is follow me and relate to God the way I relate to God. Follow me and relate to other people the way I relate to other people, instead of just doing your own thing and instead of just living your own way. Follow me. And Jesus offers the same invitation to us. And when we choose to accept that invitation, the Bible says that God's Spirit comes and lives in us, and we become a new creation. Our old self, our old sins, and our past is no longer held against us. We've been granted a do-over. We've been given a clean slate. That's a beautiful thing, man. That's just a beautiful thing. But here's the deal. Becoming a new creation involves transformation, and transformation is hard. It is hard. You see, Jesus is not just about saving us from hell and taking us to heaven. Jesus is all about transformation. He's all about turning us into becoming the way that God had created us to be, as a full human being. Now, when we talk about transformation, we talk about change. Who here likes change? There's some crazy people that do like change. They love the chaos. I, for one, do not. Most of us do not like change. You think about some of the major transformations that you've had in your life. You know, things like, oh, I'm going to set out, I'm going to lose weight. And how many times have you tried to lose weight? Because it's hard. Transformation is hard. when the boss comes in and says there's a company reorganization, right? And people are going to be relocated and people are going to have new jobs. And we just kind of, oh man, why all this change going on, stuff going on at work, and it drives us crazy. Last year, we had new carpet put in our house. Diana had been suggesting it for years. And all I could think about was the transformation of moving, of the transferring of moving furniture from one, and a lot of furniture, from one room to the other. And then, you know, for years, because I kept putting it off, right? And when we sign on to follow Jesus, we allow him to transform our life from being me-centered to Jesus-centered, there are going to be challenges. We are going to be uncomfortable. We are going to resist it because we know there is suffering involved. Because God, what God is doing is pruning things from our life, and that can be difficult. Part of our transformation involves reconciliation with other people. As we have seen, that concept of reconciliation is a big part of the gospel. You think that's the gospel. God is reconciling with us. Verse 18, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And so it's like this. God says to us, you are good, right? We start off saying we're bad. God says, you come to me and you follow Jesus. Now you're good. I am not going to hold your sins against you. We're good with God. And then he says this. Now I want you to go to other people and reconcile with them. You see, this is part of how we prepare the soil of our soul. This is how we become better Christ followers, better human beings. Now it is crazy hard. Please, just, you know, the tendency is to just check out, right? Like, I got an issue with so-and-so, and so I'm not going to go there, and so you kind of checked out. Don't check out. Just hang in there. Because we worship a God who does some crazy, amazing things anyhow. Miracles of reconciliation, right? And we're going to resist. There is resistance already. And it makes us uncomfortable, and we have all kind of excuses how we don't want to do this, and we already did it, and it's water under the bridge anyhow, and why do we need to do this? You know, but here's the deal. If we are new creations in Christ, this is what Jesus called us to do. So, let's look at some practical ways of how we become involved in this ministry of reconciliation. Here are some steps to producing reconciliation in the world that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 5. Number one is this. Let's view other people through a transformational lens. View other people through a transformational lens. Now, again, our goal is to become like Jesus. Okay? That's our aim. That is our goal. And if you think about Jesus, the way that he lived his life, he always saw people the way that God saw them. The way Jesus always looked at people the way that God saw them, right? That these were people made in the image of God. These were people of individuals with an inherent worth, regardless of their past. You think about all the stories of Jesus. Jesus didn't come up to people and just say, oh, well, you're that. Well, I'm not going to heal you today, right? He didn't look at their past. It didn't matter what their current circumstances are. He didn't judge people like that. And so we need to consciously begin to see people the same way. All right? So instead of Instead of viewing other people, as we come across other people and we look at them and just say, you know, we have this ill will. I'm going to avoid them because they hurt me. Because I know they don't like me and they did that to me, and so I would just avoid them. Or they have this or that problem, or they voted a certain way. You know, we have all these preconceived notions. Perhaps instead we just begin to have empathy for people when we look at them, just like Jesus did. He looked at people, he had empathy. Remember a phrase that we talked about a couple months, been a while, hurt people hurt people. Right? People who are hurt end up hurting other people. We need to remember that. And that applies to us too. And so maybe before we interact with someone, especially that difficult person in your life, let's just pause and pray and consciously ask God to set aside that preconception that we had and remember, you know what? This person is made in the image of God. This person has value. Jesus loves this person. We begin to view people through a transformational lens. Here's the second step we can take. Initiating reconciliation in broken relationships. Take the first step to restore a damaged relationship, even if you're not at fault. Oh, why would I do that? Because that's what Jesus did. Right? Would it be like Jesus? I mean, Jesus didn't wait till we cried out. Jesus just saw our brokenness, and he initiated this reconciliation with humanity of going to the cross. And again, this is hard. And it takes humility. We so often want to live our life with saving face. But let's swallow a pride. Oh, we don't know how that person is going to react. They could blow up. But you know what? The upside is great. Because when we live our life with grudges or knowing that somebody is angry with me and we haven't, you know, holding grudges is bad for your health. Do you realize that? It really is. And that's why Jesus talks about stuff like this. Because he wants us to become the best human beings that we can. So maybe just pray and then reach out to somebody with whom you have a conflict and acknowledge any role that you might have played in that conflict. Here we go. Here's the humility thing again, right? Try to understand their perspective and try not to get defensive because we got to be... No. Initiating reconciliation in broken relationships. Number three is to become an ambassador of reconciliation wherever you see conflict. See, the tendency today is that if we see conflict, is you take out your phone and record it. Right? Young people tell you they're all about that, right? I mean, you want to go viral and you know, we like a good fight. Bottom line, we like a good fight. I can remember when I was young, my dad used to take me to the hockey arena. He was an usher. Man, I used to pray for a fight, that a fight would break out. Let's watch these guys go at it, right? And now with social media, it is just so easy to join in and pick a side and share your thoughts and forget that there's real people on the other side. And I'm not just talking about politics here. I'm talking about in the workplace. I'm talking about in your neighborhood, the HOA, or in your family, or in our church. Remember the words of Jesus. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are children of God. So instead of joining in, or instead of just saying, I ain't getting involved in that mess, maybe you think, well, how can I mediate this? How can I be a peacemaker here? How can I be a representative of Christ's ministry of reconciliation? And maybe we begin to learn to listen to other people and create safe spaces where there can be difficult conversations and people can share things without worrying about people jumping all over them. Man, our communities, our country, our world would be better off if Christians led the way in this. My son Aaron, he helps this woman out who has a farm, and he texted me this past week, and he said, hey, you want some manure for your garden? I'm like, yes. And I started thinking, oh, man. I started thinking, how can I get the pickup, his pickup, back to my garden? Because I got trees and bushes in the way. It's like, I'm going to have to dump it here, right in front of the garage. The good news, I got manure. The bad news, I got extra work in my life. I got to transfer all that, the wheelbarrow, back to my garden. But if I want to improve the soil of my garden, it's going to take a little work. If I want to improve the soil of my soul, it's going to take a little work too. Amen. Would you bow your heads, please? And just in a little time of silence, I still believe God speaks to us through the deep recesses of our heart. Just allow God to speak to you. Maybe you think about how you can be involved in this ministry of reconciliation. Maybe there's broken relationships that he's bringing to mind that there are steps that you can take to maybe begin to repair that. Just allow God to speak to you. What is an invitation or challenge that God is making to you? Father God, transformation is hard, but we do, deep down, really want to become like Jesus. Lord, would you open up our eyes and train us to see other people the way that you do? Lord, would you give us the courage and the strength to initiate the restoration of broken relationships, just like you did. Lord, may we become known as agents of reconciliation. May we become known as peacemakers. And Lord, if there is anyone here today that is just thinking about taking that step, about following Jesus, Lord, would you receive that person here today? You know their heart. May they feel like they are your child. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.